as my go by reading one wrong. Can I put that on there? What an amazing start to an evening. Wonderful hymns. And as Andrew spoke there, you know, this is a foundation, isn't it? And I suppose this is something that we touching on tonight, is on foundations. I'm not going to excuse myself about time. I know it's been joked about, but I stand here not in my strength, but in the Lord's strength. And He's laid something on my heart, and I have to say it, and irrespective of time, I believe it needs to be said, because otherwise the Lord will let me rest and sleep. So I think it's been some 6 years since I stood here last, so I don't stand yet in my strength, gentlemen. For those words, I'm so thankful that I can turn your eyes to, you know, and look up on Jesus' face. I know one day we literally will, but I know there are many family members and people we know that can't. And as Andrew said, the gospel needs to be preached and reached. And where can this happen? Where can it come from? Where can it, you know, so many of these places have been turned into restaurants, I don't know, pubs, whatever. But funny that I don't know why the Lord had me to put a head in here. It's, and it's funny, I think Lloyd spoke on time, John spoke on time, or the other way around. And all the years all in God's time. And that's the foundation. So when Andrew Davis asked me, would I like to talk in the men's meeting? He said, I'd pray about it. As Len, there's nothing to say. But if it's the Lord's will, I said, He'll show me. And he's done that. Then Andrew came back from Ireland. He produced a piece of flintstone. I do apologise, I didn't bring it with me tonight. I should have placed it there. Just a piece of stone, a piece of flint. God made, actually. Not man, but of God. So I felt that was like a large prod or kick up the backside, really, from the Lord. As you already laid a message on my heart, and I drafted it up, and I said nothing to nobody. And as many of you know, who have heard my testimony, know that stone played a big part in my salvation. If you have not heard my testimony, I don't know. I don't know whether you have time later, or perhaps we can sit a while again, and I'll be more than happy to share that with you. But I'd like to pray for us, gentlemen, to open this. I want to just ask you now to stand me aside and have your way with me, Lord. Give me the words to say. Take my nervousness away, Lord. You placed me here. You placed me in this church. You placed me in front of my brothers. You are my all in all, Lord. So I ask now what it is I have to share with the my brother's here tonight. It is of you and not of me. So Lord, I just thank you and praise your name for whatever is said and done here tonight. Amen. And straight away to beginning, gentlemen, in there's not a great deal of scripture tonight. I don't know, the Lord did give me certain amounts of scripture, but he had me to, this might be a different message, but I'm just going to say it as the Lord had laid it on my heart. But in Genesis 1, it just says, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Wow. That's a God who we all love, trust, believe in. I hope and sure it is for everyone here. I won't read all of the scripture, I just bounce through them if you like. It says that through Genesis, from 1-3, right the way through to the end, it says, and God said, let there be light, and God divided, and God said, let there be a forever, and God made, and God called, and God said, and God called, 1:11, and God said, and God said, in 1:14, and 1:16, and God made, and God set them, And in 120, God said in 121, and God created, and God blessed, and God said in 24, and God made. And generally I could go on, you know, but wow, I think that shows us that God is undoubtedly the creator of his world. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. Said, and God said, let us make man in our image. I won't read the rest of the verse. It says in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. That's pretty clear to me, what God is saying there, and the God that we serve. Then in Genesis 3, we see sin enter. I won't go into all the scriptures for, I think, for time, really, gentlemen, but we see sin entering as man's disobedient towards God. So far we've got God's creation of the world, of his world, God's creation of man, and the fall of man, and sin enters the world. But all of this is God's perfect plan. I think you would agree with it, you know, and in his perfect time. As we read through the Bible and the scriptures, God has placed great men of God, such as Moses, Joshua, David, his disciples, Moses, the Israelites, led them out of Egypt, led them for 40 years. Incredible thing was, just, I don't know, millions. But we view God, a great God. Joshua entered into the promised land, first dipped his toe into that water, showed faith, he went forward. God allowed him to conquer Canaan, and done amazing things there with him. David, a mere shepherd boy, killed Goliath and became king. Wow, shepherd boy. The disciples chosen who in all the world can spread the gospel, chosen by God, all put in place by God for that time. Let's jump forward now a few thousand years to the book of Romans. Just in a small chapter. Romans 1, sorry gentlemen, Romans 1, it just says in Romans 1:1, Paul is a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, what I've been told and stand in my years here at Bethany, this book is, I believe, to be I've been led to believe the most powerful book in theology in the whole of the Bible, as Paul explains fulfillment of God's promise to man from the Old Testament, in that God provided his Son Jesus Christ for the atonement of our sins, that we may be saved and have the promise of eternal life with him, as we are sinners saved by grace. We're blessed people. There are many people that do not have that. I'm just going back, listening to those hymns and the words of those hymns that we just sang. In Romans 8, just like to read Romans 8, 31, I think it is, yes, 31, 32. So some of this might not even make sense to me, but I pray that the Lord would lay this on my heart, that it would make sense, it will all come together at the end, gentlemen. Romans 8:31-32 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up, delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And back to Romans 6, just over the page to 22, Romans 6:22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, these things have all been set out, men have been put in place, all in the power of God, by his love and timing, perfect, absolutely perfect. So now we jump back 500 years, we go back to Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. I would, for the sake of time, I won't go into all the scripture there, I was going to read, but Nehemiah is an amazing guy. I've read and read and read about him, just unbelievable how God uses these ordinary men to do extraordinary things throughout the Bible. Nehemiah was an ordinary layman, was a high official of the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. But God had put a call on Nehemiah to return to the Jews in Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and the gates that surrounded the city, as they had fallen into a bad state of repair. Also, the people had fallen away from God and were struggling spiritually as well. Not unlike, I don't think, the churches. We just touched on Andrew here, not unlike the churches today, as the communities turn to the world for their answers. So God used Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and make it safe there once again. Placed many families to help Nehemiah to rebuild the walls, the gates, as he couldn't do it by himself. So to carry out this enormous task by himself, so all things were put in place by God. And thus enabled Ezra to read and teach the word of God once again. All in God's time and God's plan. So let us never underestimate the power of God when his hand of blessing is upon it. I think that's quite clear what we've heard so far, at least as well what the Lord has shown me. I don't know, you might be sitting there at the moment asking yourself, where is Len going with this? To which my answer is, all in God's time. That was only a joke. But I try to explain in as short a time as possible, but it is important, really important, as the Lord has placed this upon my heart to share with yourselves. I'll continue, gentlemen. As most of you here know me, know that I'm not a preacher and I'm not a teacher. But I do know a little bit about building. Having built and renovated many properties over the last 30 years. So I'm sure the Lord would be thankful if you would think on what the Lord will have me to say in this short time. In Genesis, we touched on God's wonderful creation. I know we created it all in 7 days, God's time. In Romans, how he provides, Lord Jesus, as an atonement for us in God's perfect time. And Nehemiah, how God conveniently provides a way for his word to be preached and teached, even in troubled times, times of duress, always makes a way. That is all in God's time. This now brings us forward to the present day, day and time, as we started to know. I believe that I'm not standing here sharing what the Lord has laid on my heart by accident, or that you, my brothers, are sat there this evening by some strange coincidence. We're all here because the Holy Spirit initially drew us here as God wanted us here at Bethany, each and every one of us. You might say, well, hang on then. We only came tonight because we knew it was a good speaker. But no.
That's right.
No, all joking aside, that I can only quote what the Bible says, and that is, God makes no mistakes, as he is unable to lie. I think it mentions, and I just a brief little piece of scripture, if I can find it, and in Titus, yeah, Titus 1, chapter 1, it says, and I've got to read the first verse because it just wouldn't make sense, but it says, Paul, the servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Wow. That's an amazing promise, yeah, from we have, isn't it? So I'll continue. If I could just share this small testament at the moment in between this message with you, perhaps it'll shine some light upon why you might think you're here, or if you think you're here by accident, I'm sure you don't. Well, my wife, I think most of you know her, Deb. She prayed for a year. She was out with church. She prayed for a year, asking the good Lord to find her a sound Bible-believing church. And he led a year to Bethany. In her short time here, or in her time here, I think it's nine years, she's been here. The Lord has blessed our family in abundance. Four of my family have come to know the Lord, myself included. Our two daughters are back in church. Both have Christian husbands, one soon to be a few months away. Plus countless other blessings. Some I've shared with the church, others I've not. Lord has shown or has given to us too many to mention, I suppose. But I can talk to you later about that if you want to know. And we praise his wonderful name for all these blessings. So given what I've just shared, that I truly don't think that any of us are here at Bethany are here by chance, but believe it is all of the Lord's perfect timing, as I see him working and blessing in lives of all who attend Bethany, no matter what the need is. I'm sure you do as well, gentlemen, you know, in 7 years that I've been here, since I've come to know the Lord. This kind of brings me to the final part of what it is that the Lord wants me to share, but no doubt the most important. three simple points, and I'll go through them. Is believe that God is in full control of His creation, time and will. Salvation is for all. Not only us blessed here, it's for all. We need to keep that in mind. Especially when you just said there, and we really as well. So what part do we play in God's plan and time? God's creation. The Lord of God is in full control of His creation and will for it. As we viewed early on in the beginning in Genesis, God has chosen to bless at this moment each of us here at Bethany as a church or as individuals. Salvation. God has provided the Lord Jesus as an atonement for our sins, a way out, if you like. As Paul explains in the book of Romans, and I'm sure I believe all that you are saved. But what about those lost souls? What part do we play here now at Bethany today? Well, let's go back to Nehemiah. God used him to rebuild his land and people physically and spiritually so that he could use them to preach and teach the law then, but to preserve his word so that many would come to know him as the true God and creator of this world. This is where I see us at Bethany today, though. Nehemiah was a man of prayer, as is Bethany, or the people here at Bethany. God provided for Nehemiah all that was needed so that his people could praise and honor and worship God or come to know him. The Lord has provided the same here at Bethany for now, for this time. And whether you like it or not, if we attend this church, we can also be part of God's blessing, if it's His will. I believe that God is about, not that He hasn't, but I believe that He's about to bless Bethany, as by much prayer and by faith in God, He can use us all here to help reach the lost, the unsaved. Not unlike in the day of Nehemiah, Bethany's buildings are in a bad state of repair. I'm talking about us, and all we can relate it to us as individuals, as if we've got top of the building. The outside toilets, gentlemen, substandard, not isolated, bursting pipes all through the winter, water running all down steps everywhere. We've had, and that's purely because it is not insulated at all, the building. It is substandard. We've had an incident here with sewerage, which entered the building, caused a great deal of damage. This can happen again. There's nothing that's been done to prevent it. It happened external and caused us a problem. The old pastor's office, we're on the right there, has subsidence in it, both in the walls and floors, and in time will collapse into the downstairs toilets. This is a temporary measure, I'm not sure that These are but a few of the problems that we have within Bethany. Through much answered prayer, I believe the Lord has provided a way forward for Bethany. So do we step out in faith and allow the Lord to use us at Bethany to carry out his will and use us to reach the lost? Or do we sit back and allow his hand of blessing to pass? Please don't think that I'm standing here naive, and as I'm fully aware that the Lord can stop this project today and place the funds elsewhere. But at this time, I see the Lord wanting to raise the walls like he did in Jerusalem, that he can use Bethany in the future to raise men of God, such like as preachers, teachers, and godly people to help do his work and reach the lost as we once was. So do we at Bethany, see what God's will is and put our faith and trust in him and not in the size and cost of the project? Do we look to God for our help or the world? As you all know, the world of man has no answers to the problems of what this world faces. But God has. I guess it's down to us. As God has given provision, a green light, if you like. As I believe, we are here for such a time as this. But in God's perfect time, I pray the Lord will add his blessing to what was read and said. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for that, and thanks for all the scriptures as well. The scriptures were outstanding. They always are, aren't they? But, some of them are more relevant at certain times than others. I was thinking myself in Nehemiah this morning, and you looked at Nehemiah and stood on the wall, and they stood there with the trowel in one hand and the sword in the other. And that's where we need to be. We need to have the Word of God at the front. Christ is the centre. The Word of God in our hand and be working. Again, mentioned in his prayer, occupy till I come. He didn't intend us to be sitting back. He didn't intend us to be retired. He intended us to be doing and occupying and working until he come, which is great. Christ in everything must have the preeminence. I think when we started this year, I said there were really three reasons for the men's meeting. And one is that Christ should absolutely have the preeminence. That we should be encouraging each other in the things of God. Mm-hmm. And there should be, when there are unsaved people amongst us, evangelization of the lost. Mm-hmm. And so all we need, that's what it's all about, isn't it? I go back to that feel-good factory. The world says that people who feel good about themselves produce good results. And to a certain extent, that is true. God isn't looking for good results from us. He's looking for faithfulness. Yeah. And faithfulness to his word, and faithfulness to the gospel, and faithfulness to the cause. And we see Christendom searching here, there, and everywhere, looking for relevantism within the church, looking to make the church relevant to the people. The gospel has never been relevant to the people. It has, but they haven't realized it. When the gospel is preached, the relevance of it escapes them. It's only through the
the Holy Spirit working on lives, convicting, convincing of sin and righteousness and judgment to come, the people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they make themselves relevant in their music. They make themselves relevant in their bar downstairs in the church. They make themselves relevant to the culture. Culture is becoming the in word in churches. We've got to get in with the culture that's around us. Well, if we got in with the culture that was around us, we'd need to turn this into Wetherspoons. And if we turned it into Wetherspoons, we could fill it. But it wouldn't be in God's will. And we've got to remember that. And let's go back to Nehemiah and back to the book. Chapter 8. I love that chapter 8. Got the heading written over it, contentment. And Ezra stood on that pulpit of wood and he spoke to the people. He read from the book distinctly. And that's what we need to be doing, is reading from the book distinctly and preaching the word of God. Because the word of God is the only answer to the needs of the people. The needs of the people, the need of the people is salvation. All other needs are secondary. I told to Glyn last night about just so many people that we hear of. I don't mean to upset anybody, but there's so many people, even in Charlotte's family and whatever else, with cancer. And we know that cancer is in this world because of Adam's sin. And it will become more prevalent. And we'll be seeing people dying all around us. And the longer the world goes on, the worse that will become. And yet their need is not to have their cancer cured. Their need is to be saved. Yeah. And we need to be praying. Praying for the lost. Praying for those who are in need of salvation. I'm sure God will add his blessing to things that Len has said and the things that he read. Thanks very much for that, Len. And perhaps Pastor, you'd like to close us up.
Father, we are thankful, Lord, that we can come here tonight and come around your word and find encouragement for the day and age in which we live. Yes, Father, we see churches closing, but you promised that you would build the church upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Will not prevail against it. And Father, no matter what happens in the world, your church will still stand through. And Father, we just pray that you would help us as part of your body, as part of the body of the church, that you help us to be a light in this dark and desperate world. We pray you help us, Lord, to build as nearby the walls in this church, and that we might stand fast. And then, as Ezekiel was, as a watchman upon those walls, and as Isaiah talked about, to make sure that we don't allow the enemy, as it were, to gain entry into these walls. Father, as the Sambards and the surveyors of the world, mock us and tell us to come down off the wall, we will still say, as Nehemiah did, there is a work to be done. Father, I just pray you help us to continue the work here, that souls might be saved, that the saint might grow, and that the Lord Jesus Christ, as ever, might not only have a fairness, but he would be lifted up and exalted. Father, we just pray that you help us as a band of brothers, to be the men who need us to be in our homes, to be the men who need us to be in our workplaces, to be the men you need us to be in the community, so that people might see Christ in us, and as a result, have a realization of their own sinfulness, and come to know that precious Savior for themselves. So Father, we just pray that you would bless us. Thank you again for Len and his faithfulness, Lord, in standing and just proclaiming what you've laid upon his heart. And I just pray that you would continue to bless us as we ponder upon what we've heard tonight, and we remember giving you the glory for it. Father, we pray and ask these things in Christ's most perfect, precious, wonderful, and matchless name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.